Shalom to all. Today's office is Rishalmi Ervin, Daf Samach Tess, and we are starting Samach Tess on Beis on the bottom with Halacha Yud Aleph, and Vilna Shor's Daf is on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas, Maris Mirim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe, Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we continue talking about doors and the Beis Hamikdash and outside the Beis Hamikdash just for a little bit before we move on to other things. And over here we're going to be using the word seer. Now, even though in modern Hebrew seer means a hinge, this over here is not referring to a regular hinge like we have. Sometimes it's translated as a pivot, which is basically referring to a peg that comes out of the top and the bottom of a door. And that's inserted into a hole in the top and bottom of the door frame, and that's where the door swivels on. Now, if the bottom tier came out, the door is pretty much stable still because the top one is still in place, but if the top one comes out, the door more or less is considered not in place at all because the bottom one doesn't really hold it solidly in. And now, knowing that, the Mishnah tells us, in the Beis HaMikdash, if the bottom tier came out, meaning if it popped out of the bottom hole, so that could be put back into place, that's in the Beis HaMikdash, Avoloi B'Medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, and if the upper one comes out, kan v'kan asur, both here and there is asur, meaning even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's asur to put it back in. This is for the same reason that we had explained yesterday, that ain shvus b'mikdash, there's no isur d'rabanon in the Beis HaMikdash, and putting the bottom hinge back in is only shvus, it's only an isur d'rabanon, so in the Beis HaMikdash it's permitted, it's only out of the Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash it's asur, whereas when we're talking about the upper hinge, it's as we said, it's considered like the door is not even connected at all, because the bottom hinge alone can't really hold it in place, so it's like it's like building when the upper hinge is put back in, so that's usur even in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Rabbi Huda says that no, ha'aliyah mikdash atachdu medina, the upper one could be put back in the mikdash, and the bottom one could be put back in the medina. Samach Tess Amud Aleph on the top. Now into more differences between the Beis HaMikdash and the medina, all for the same reason, because ain shvus b'mikdash, so we're more makel in the Beis HaMikdash. Machzirin retia b'mikdash, a kayin who needs to do avaida, and he has a wound on his hand, so he has a bandage there, and he can't do avaida with a bandage because it's a chatzitza, so he takes off the bandage in order to avaida. He's allowed to put that back on Shabbos. That's what we mean machzir and retia. He could put the bandage back on avoloi b'medina, but he cannot do that outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, in betchila kan v'kan aser, if he wants to put a bandage on his hand in the first place on Shabbos, both here and there, both outside and inside the Beis HaMikdash, it's aser, and that's because of the iser of mimareach. When he puts the bandage on, you don't just put a plain bandage. You put some ointment, some neosporin, some antibiotic in order to help heal the wound, and that's aser because of mimareach. According to some, that's also aser because of refu on Shabbos. If he's putting on the bandage the first time on Shabbos, it's usur, but when he already has the bandage on his hand, and the only reason why he has to remove it is for avoida, that's called tsairich mikdash, and ain't shvus b'mikdash, so he's allowed to do it, just not in the Medina. And now the Gemara points out something important. Amar Rav Yisrael Rabban, he tells us, like kol shvus etiru mikdash, not every shvus, every drabanan is mut in the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we get this from? It's the first case in the Mishnah. We had said, it's usur to put back the upper tier of the door in the mikdash, and that's even though it's only a shvus, because really, ain't binyan b'kelim. Midai raisa, there's no isur of building by kelim. So even if you want to say it looks like building, so technically putting the upper tier of the door back in shouldn't be a problem either. We're saying it's usur because it's very similar to real building, so even this shvus is usur. Now we're going to be talking about bandages on Shabbos at length. Tani we have a braisa, loikanech ademes esplanis, a person's not allowed to clear the pus off of his bandage on Shabbos, shalo yavalei de meruach, so he doesn't come to smoothing out the ointment which is there, v'amareich b'shabbos chayev chatas. If a person's mareich on Shabbos, he's chayev chatas, it's an isur deraisa. And v'tani we have a similar braisa, chlika mimaton, machzir milmalon, chlika mimala, machzir milmata. If he has a bandage set in place before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, it slips a little bit downwards, he could put it back up, or if it slips upwards, he could bring it a little bit down, back onto the wound. That's as long as it didn't completely come off of the wound. Also, megalomixis blundus mikanum kaneach hamaka mikan, he could reveal a little bit of the bandage here, and clean the wound from there, megalomixis blundus mikan, mikaneach hamaka mikan, and open up the bandage from the other side, and clean the wound from the other side, avoloi kaneachis blundus, but he's not to clean the bandage itself, shaloi avolidei meiruach, so that he doesn't come to smoothing the ointment on it, because if someone smooths the ointment, he's chayav chatas. We see the same thing from this braisa, that he cannot remove the bandage completely, but as long as it's only partially off, it's not a problem, he could put it back on, and also no cleaning the bandage itself, because he might smooth the medicine which is on it, and that's an isur daraisa. We continue with something similar. Tani we have a braisa, retia shetafcha, a bandage that got inflated, and now it's not even resting on the maka at all, it's kind of hovering above it. Machzirin oisa b'shabbos, it could be pushed back down on Shabbos, no problem. And Rabbi Yaakov Racha clarifies, b'shem Rabbi Yosa, v'hi shetafcha, can I get a maka? That's only if it got inflated opposite where the maka is, but not that it completely came off of it, because then he can't put it back on. And I'll tell you, we have a similar braisa. If it slipped off a little bit below, so he could push it back up. If it slipped a little bit upwards, he could push it back down. As long as it doesn't leave the whole area of the maka, meaning if the bandage completely slipped off the maka, he can't put it back on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yisrael Bun says, if a wound already got healed, Tia, he could put a bandage on it. Why is that? She'in el kemishamra, because he's just protecting it. You know, many times you have a scab and you just don't want to bump it against anything and cause it to get ripped back open. So really, everything's perfectly fine. It's healed. You just want to put something on it to guard it, to make sure it doesn't get re-injured. That's perfectly fine because you're not smearing any ointments or anything. And Rabban says, b'shem Rabban and Taman, nice in ole al gabe makav Shabbos. That's the proper girsa. One could put a leaf from a branch on a wound on Shabbos, she'in el kemishamra, because it's just guarding it, protecting it from getting re-wounded from the outside. And Amar Tanchuma, he clarifies, chutz me'al gefanim she'in l'refuah. This is excluding leaves from grapevines because that actually helps heal it and nobody doing healing things on Shabbos. And Amar Rav Huna says, hada pua, this pua herb, it's a certain type of herb, ikr tav hisagin, it's a very good root and it's very helpful for wounds. Kad isba chamisha aysheva aytisha kitrin, when a person has 5, 7, or 9 bundles of this herb, that's great to put on a makkah, ubavad lo yitein mai, as long as he doesn't put water on it, this is a wonderful way to heal a makkah, and of course not on Shabbos, it's just a general helpful medicinal piece of advice. Another thing regarding healing wounds, ain karen pasuk al gabi makkah b'shem, no reading psukim over a wound with Hashem's name. According to some Gersais, we take out the word b'shem, and according to that, it means it's usher to read any sort of pasuk over a makkah to try to heal it. That's because it's a bizayin, a disgrace to Divrei Torah, that you're using them to try to heal yourself. And similarly, v'hein dekara al yavrucha usher, if a person reads psukim over yavrucha, which is some sort of herb, and that's also in an attempt to try to heal himself, that's usher. Now let's say one person tells his friend, bai v'kara pasuk zeh al bani, come and say this pasuk over my son, shehum is bas, he's afraid. This is like a kid who gets particularly afraid because of many different stimuli, and the father wants to try to heal him from this, so he tells one of his friends, come, let's say some psukim over my son. Or he tells him, ten olav sefer or tefillin b'shvil sheyishan, place a sefer Torah or tefillin on him so that he should sleep. Usher, this is usher, because this is using divrei Torah for healing, and that's not okay. As the Gemara v'atani, we have a brass that says, Oimrim hayu shir shal pegayim Yerushalayim, they used to say shir shal pegayim in Yerushalayim, this refers to a parak of Tehillim, and they would say this in Yerushalayim before they went to sleep. Why is that permitted? So Rav Yudin, he explains, kan ad shalai nifka, v'kan mishanifka. One is before the thing happens, one's afterwards. When this father wants to have his friend help him heal his son, that's because his son already has an issue, he already has a problem, so he says, come, let's say psukim or do these other things to heal him, and that's not okay. But in Yerushalayim, before they went to sleep, they wanted to say psukim as a preventative measure so that nothing should happen to them in the future, that's okay. Now we just clarify, ezu shir pegayim, what is this shir pegayim? What parak of Tehillim is it referring to? It's about this. It refers partially to parak gimel of Tehillim, my rabu tzarai, v'chal mizmar, and the whole parak, and also yoshev seser elyoin, parak tzadi aleph, from the beginning, ad kiato Hashem machzi, up until this pasuk of parak tzadi aleph. And on talach yud beis, the Mishnah continues discussing certain things that are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash. Kosherin nimin b'mikdash avoloi b'medina. In the Beis HaMikdash, one is allowed to tie the string of a musical instrument which snapped, but not in the Medina. In the Beis HaMikdash, we need musical instruments, and this is even on Shabbos because it's part of the Avodah, so he's allowed to tie that string if it snapped, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. But in Betchila, kan v'kan usur, if he's putting a string on in the first place, meaning it's not that there was a string and then it snapped, he's just putting a brand new string on, so then even in the Beis HaMikdash it's usur because that's called tikkun manet, that's considered like a proper fixing of the kli, and even in the Beis HaMikdash that's asur. Another din, chaytchen yabelas b'mikdash, if we have a karbon, an animal that has yabelas, which is like a wart of sorts, then we're not allowed to bring it like that, so we could cut off that yabelas of that karbon in the Beis HaMikdash, avloib medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, in b'kli, if he's going to be using a kli, meaning he's not using his hands, he's using a proper kli to do it, kan v'kan asur, both here and there, meaning even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's asur. Now the Gemara Samach Tasman Beis HaTav tells us, kashanim b'mikdash avloib medina, so we clarify, Amar Yisrael Rabban, he tells us, the like Reb Shimon ben Elazar he. That's a proper girsa. This is not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. The Tani Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar teaches, Nima Shebekino Shenifsaka, a string of a harp that broke in the Beis HaMikdash, Ukshara, and he tied it. He ain't a mashmas zakayl. It doesn't create the proper sound because it's not sufficiently taut. It's not tight enough, so it doesn't produce the proper twing, the proper sound. You have to tune it. Ella, rather, what's he supposed to do? Mishal Shal Milamalan Va'ayna Milamata, he pulls down more from the top and he ties it on the bottom. Anyone who's ever seen a string instrument, such as a guitar, knows that when you want to tune the guitar, what do? You turn the pegs that are at the end of the neck, and that tightens the string, giving you the proper sound. And that's what Rav Shimon Elazar is telling us, that if the string of the harp snapped in the Beis HaMikdash, just tying the two ends together is not going to help you, because it's not going to produce the proper sound. You should actually pull some extra string down from the top, tie it at the bottom, and that's going to give you the proper sound. And that's definitely not like our Mishnah. Now, why does he hold this? So, Tanu Yev HaBres, Rav Shimon Elazar Emer, he tells us, HaKayhanav Alvim V'Yisraelim V'Klishir Ma'akvan Esakarbon, the Kayhanav Alvim V'Yisraelim, all who are a necessary part of bringing the carbon, and also the clay shear, the musical instruments, they're ma'akiv the carbon. If you don't have all of them, then the carbon is not considered kosher. kosher. And that's why even on Shabbos, there's a problem with one of musical instruments, you're allowed to fix the string properly. You don't have to do this half job of tying the two half strings together. We continue explaining the Mishnah. We could cut off a wart in the base of Mikdash, but not outside. Now, we clarify this by asking a question. Over there, we have a Mishnah that says, that cutting off a wart of a Karban Pesach is not Doicha Shabbos. And the problem is, over here, you say this. We just said in our Mishnah that we're allowed to cut off a wart, this Yabelas, from an animal on Shabbos. So are you not allowed to cut this off on Shabbos? We're going to have a whole bunch of different answers. Number one is Reb Simon says, B'shem Reb Shubin Levi, who says, B'shem Reb Pedas, Mipnei Kilkel Piyasais. Our Mishnah is allowing to cut off a Yabelas because of ruining of the pious of the lots that were drawn. We'll explain this in a moment. And Reb Yosef further clarifies, V'hein Shefisu, it has to be that they already drew lots. This is talking about a system that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, allotting which Kayin got to do which Avodah. It was a pious, it was a lottery system, at the end which it was determined, okay, you Kayin, you do that, a different Kayin does that. And if it turns out that the Kayin has a wart on him, not the animal, but the Kayin, so he can cut that wart off on Shabbos in order for him to be able to do the Avodah, because if we're going to say that he can't cut it off on Shabbos, posseling him from doing the Avodah, that posseles the pious that they did, and they're going to have to redo the whole thing, which they're not going to do. And that's why our Mishnah says that a Yabelas could be cut off on Shabbos, where the Mishnah Pesachim, it says a Yabelas cannot be cut off on Shabbos, as referring to cutting it off from an animal. That's because we can easily get a different animal, so there's no reason to allow cutting it off from this animal. Here's a second answer. And here's the proper girsa. Over here in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Yabelas that crumbles, and over there, it doesn't crumble, which basically means when it crumbles, it's not part of the body at all, so it's not really considered like you're cutting anything off, but over there in Pesachim, it doesn't crumble, so it's really considered like you're actually cutting something off the body, and that's the problem. On to our third answer, Reb Shimon Yakim Amar, he says, Kan Bilacha Kan Bivesha, here, which really means over there in Pesachim, it's talking about where the Yabelas is moist, where over here it's dry, and this is a very similar answer to the previous one. When it's dry, it's basically not considered connected to the body, as opposed to when it's moist, it is. Here's our fourth answer, Reb Yisrael Chanin Amar, he tells us, Kan Biyad Vekan Bikli. Over here, we're talking about cutting it off with the hand, so that's Kal Achar Yad, it's an abnormal way of doing it, and therefore it's permitted, but over there in Pesachim, it's referring to cutting off with a regular kli, whatever tool was usually used to cut off this Yabelas, that's normal way of doing it, so it's Aser. Now, before we got to another answer, we just speak about these last two answers that we gave. Asi Reb Shim ben Yakim kibar kapara, Reb Yisrael ben Chanina kib yechanan. Reb Shim ben Yakim's answer that he just gave is like bar kapara, whom we're going to mention in a moment, and Reb Yisrael ben Chanina is like Reb Yechanan. Detani, we have a braisa. Kol makalkalin paturin, on Shabbos, if someone does something which is a kilkel, it ruins, it causes destruction, he's pater. Chutz mi mavir va'is chabura, except for a person who lights a fire, he burns something, or he makes a chabura, he makes a wound. Even though these two acts are kilkel, they're ruining something, when you burn something, so it's ruined, or you make a wound, that's ruined, one would still be chayv for that. Now we clarify this, and here are the two amarayim that we're paying attention to. Bar Kapara says, afilu einet sarach ledam, regarding the kilkel of making a chabura, he's chayv for that, even if he doesn't need the blood, and also einet sarach le'efer, even if he doesn't need the ashes that the fire made, he's still chayv. And Rabbi Yechon says, v'hushayet sarach ledam le'efer, that the only time he's chayv for this type of kilkel, burning and making a chabura, is if he needs the blood or the ashes. Now we're able to plug in these two previous answers to shitas Rabbi Yechon and Bar Kapara. Rabbi Shimon Yakim would give him the answer that over here we're allowed to cut off the abelas because it's dry, and over there we're not allowed to cut it off because it's moist. He clearly holds like Bar Kapara that a person's chayv for mekalkel, specifically chabura, even if he doesn't need the blood, and that's why he says that over there Maseches Pesachim we're not allowed to cut off the abelas because it's moist. Blood's going to come out, and even though you don't need the blood, it doesn't make a difference. That's still considered mekalkel b'chabura, which one is chayv for. It's only when it's dry and there's not going to be any blood whatsoever, that's our Mishnah, that you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is like Rabbi Yechanan. Over here, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said, in our Mishnah, even when we're dealing with the abelas, which is lacha, it's moist, it's not a problem, you're allowed to cut it off, as long as you do it kel achar yad in an abnormal way, he must hold like Rabbi Yechanan. The mekalkel b'chabura is pater if you don't need the blood. And over here, he doesn't need the blood, he doesn't care for it, therefore, as long as he does it kel achar yad, and he doesn't do it with a kli, he's allowed to cut off the abelas, even though it's going to bleed. And here's our last answer of the difference between our Mishnah and that one in Pesachim. Reb Acha quotes Reb Chaninu, says B'shem Reb Yechanan, kan v'kan v'lachanan kaimen, both here and there are referring to moist yabeles, v'hu she'heit sarach ledam, but over there is where he actually needed the blood that was going to come out by cutting this yabeles. Therefore, it's Aser, as Reb Yechanan says, that makalka b'chabura is Aser if he needs the dam, but over here, he doesn't need the dam, and therefore it's permitted to cut off. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Yad Gimel, with more differences of things that are allowed to be done in the base of Mikdash, but not outside. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.